5:15, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. It's Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times, and I'm joined now by my friend Pat Buchanan. Pat, good afternoon. How are you?
Pretty good, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. We got some sad news over the weekend, though, in learning of the passing of Tony Blankley, former editorial page editor here at the Washington Times and a friend to both you and to me. And I know that you guys went back a long way, didn't you?
We sure did. We went back to the Reagan White House days, and even before he went to work for Newt. And, you know, he goes all the way back to the Goldwater campaign as a young YR. I know folks that knew him out in California. He was a loyal conservative and a loyal Republican, but just a wonderful human being, a real gentleman.
Yeah, very charming, very witty. I loved reading what he wrote only because it made you think, and it also gave you a little smile at some point, you know, just about every time, that's for sure.
And he was a very, you know, and they're not a mean bone in his body. He's very passionate about what he believed, and I guess his three great causes. His dad worked for Winston Churchill. He's enormously proud of that, proud of his British roots. And he was a real cold warrior, feeling that, you know, the Soviet Empire was the great menace to America. And then radical Islamism really caught his attention. And he wrote Last Chance, a really fine book on that. I mean, he was a very cultured, a very civilized fellow, you know. And he was, his dress. I mean, I really admired the nerve of his dress. He'd come over with those, he'd have a green suit on with a green shirt and a green tie and green socks.
I saw him.
And he's sitting right next to you, and I've got to call on him Lord Blankley. You know, Lord Blankley, can you explain this one?
I remember I saw him one night down at the National Press Club, and it was more or less the same attire. And I walked up, and I smiled at him, and he said, "Don't say it."
I thought he looked like a giant peacock, but he loved those dresses. I mean, he could really carry them off. Most of us would just look ridiculous and not leave the house. But he looked splendid, you know, and he looked like something you'd see walking along the streets of London about 1914 or something.
Yeah. You know, I was talking about this earlier today. Back in 2002, after there was a big shakeup at the other radio station I used to frequent, they were looking for replacements, and Fred Grandy eventually got the job, and he and I worked together for the next 7 years doing the morning show over there. But Tony worked with me for a couple of weeks, and he loved doing the morning show. But he hated getting up early, which, you know, he'd say, you know, this 4 o'clock wake up call, this is nonsense. You know? But he was.
That's the civilized gentleman in him, that's right.
Yeah. But he would come in, and he had this affection for little sports cars, and I remember he would drive his car with the top down, and he just loved that, and he talked about his farm in Northern Virginia and his family, and he was just such a wonderful person. And one day I remember I kind of stumbled on the fact that he had been a child actor.
And
I didn't know that until he started talking about it on the air. And he was rather sheepish about that. And I could always make him smile as soon as I, in fact, as recently as 3 weeks ago, I had him on the air and I made reference to that. And I could actually, even though he was on the telephone, I knew his reaction was, yeah, I was really a child superstar, okay.
But well, you know, I know he would tell the stories. I guess he was in Lassie, but the one thing he liked, he was in some room. I don't know if he said something or what. I think it was Humphrey Bogart ordered him out of the room. He was a little 10-year-old kid, you know. And he really rather loved that. And, of course, he liked the YRs and all of that. He was just a wonderful guy. You know, he had that sort of the weight problem. I have to tell a story. You know, he had a real weight problem, and he told me he had to lose 100 pounds. You know, he got very big, and he was on an all-liquid diet, and it would be sort of like broth, and he would eat nothing of substance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the McLaughlin group with him, and I'm very dehydrated, and so during the breaks, I'm sipping the water all the time, and I ran out of mine, and I was drinking his, and I looked over, he had this look on his face, I said, "Oh, my Lord, I think I've drunk your dinner." But, I mean, he was... But he had that difficulty, and he worked very well with it, and he did a wonderful job at the Washington Times. You know, it's the way he wrote. I mean, he wrote very, it was fairly elegant. It was almost from something of an earlier in some ways a better era. You know, he was very, as I say, passionate, but there was no real cutting brutality in there.
Yeah.
He was a very decent guy, and he liked a good spirited fight, but he always fought fair. And he always fought like a gentleman.
Yeah. I had Brett Decker in here in the 3 o'clock hour, and we were talking about the fact that Brett worked for Tom DeLay, and, of course, you know, Newt's guy was Tony Blankley. And Brett said he was surprised when Tony hired him. He said that he respected him. He said, he goes, we fought like cats and dogs when, you know,
right.
Obviously DeLay was, you know, the guy responsible for getting Newt thrown out, really.
Right.
And Decker had nothing but great things to say about him.
Well, you know, everybody that met him, and I've seen, looked at the Huffington Post, and Tony's column appeared up there on the Huffington Post, and a lot of the folks there are clearly on the other side, Begala, Jonathan Capehart, and others. And they're all, I mean, they really just saying a civilized voice and a wonderful guy has really, really departed.
Yeah, that's for sure.
He had a very tough time, I know, with the health issues.
I was going to ask you about that. How long have you known about it? Because honestly, you know, because I only talked to him on the phone from time to time, I really knew very little about his condition, and I understand he fought that for a couple years.
He did, and I was aware of it. He had a number of health problems, as I said. You know, he had the health problem going up and down with the weight and things like that. And it must have been serious because he really had to work at that. And then you heard about the cancer problem, and I'd heard he told someone it was a flip of a coin or something like that, and it was very touch and go. But we really missed him on the group. I mean, I'll tell you, Dandy, as you probably know, the best times of some of those shows are sitting in the green room, and because McLaughlin often would get us over there at 1:30 or 2, and we'd start taping at 5, you'd be telling stories and anecdotes, and he had a great love of history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'd read very deeply in it, and every time I'd be read a history book and could get an anecdote out, we'd come over and tell Tony he really enjoyed talking about that, and especially the World War II and the Brits.
Yeah. He was very special. He was a lot of fun. I'm going to miss him. And, you know, today I actually listened to the interview I had with him 3 weeks ago, and in listening to his tone of voice and his sense of humor, you would have never known that he was fighting this cancer and would succumb to it 3 weeks later. It's baffling to me. I was shocked when I saw the headline in the paper Saturday, and when I got word here from the Washington Times via email, I was just floored. I thought, oh, my gosh, something must have happened. He must have been in an auto accident. He must have been driving one of those little convertibles he liked. And I had no idea.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, another thing, again, you talked about, you mentioned his farm. I went out to, I think it was Dana Rohrabacher's reception at Dana Rohrabacher's wedding. I believe he held it for him at his house. Dana was a Californian like Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And you went out there, there are peacocks, and you drove up there, and there's a cat sitting in the driveway that wouldn't get out of the way for your car.
Yeah.
He must have had 22 animals or something out there.
Yeah.
I mean, he just loved all that. He loved life. And and he told me the story. I think his wife, maybe I'm telling this out of school, that I heard his wife was allergic. But when she left or took off on a trip or something and was gone, he had all 7 cats in the bed.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, my friend. Well, listen, I'm going to let you run, but I can't without asking you one question because this was just handed to me.
Mm-hmm.
Were you suspended by MSNBC?
Well, no, I have been off the air.
I knew you had been because of the book, right?
Well, it was not just the book started, but I've had a few health issues and sort of kept me out of activity, frankly, for a couple of months, and we're sort of coming back now. But the situation, I would just say right now, as of now, it's just sort of unresolved.
Okay.
That's
fair enough. I just this was handed to me, and I said, I got to ask him, and I knew you would address it. So thank you much, and I appreciate it. And obviously, I appreciate you coming on and talking.
Well,
about
I'm delighted to do it. It was a pleasure.
All right, good to talk to you, Pat.
You take it easy, Andrew. Bye-bye.
You too. Pat Buchanan, 525, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth.